Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Maria Wilson Duff, and I am your host tonight on Paranormal Horizons. I have kicked Jason and Sherry out tonight because I've invited a wonderful guest that I have investigated with as far as paranormal investigations several times over the years. And he has earned a very good nickname of the EVP King. That is the electronic voice phenomena for people who do not know what an EVP is. Jason has investigated over 300 locations and has been at this for almost 20 years. He has investigated with well-known people as well as novice hunters. So I want to bring Jason on tonight, and Jason Wilkerson. Hello, Jason.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Hey, Maria, how are you?
I'm good. Did I sugarcoat that enough, or did I need to do a little bit better?
Oh, my gosh. I think my head is up in the ceiling right now. I need to, like, deflate a little bit.
Well, we've known each other for quite a while. We've investigated several places, and it's always been an adventure.
It has definitely been an adventure. I mean, started out off Gun Hall and had some great times there, and then obviously some not so great times when you throw, you know, the Ghost Hunt Weekends crew and the ever so, you know, full of himself Chad Morin. But our last great trip was obviously in Indiana. We checked out a house that was on the abandoned for sale side, which has now been sold, but your camera wouldn't work, and it was kind of weird. I felt bad because you drove all that way. We had everything set up for your SLS, and the thing kept shutting down the whole time for whatever the activity was. And then we go back, and we're trying to get checked into a room and get in a hotel, and everything in town, the electric went out. So it was just a weird night altogether. You're like,
yeah.
I'm going home, and I'm like, I'm going to go to bed in the dark. So
that's right.
It would remind you of a zombie apocalypse when I walk back into the hotel and you don't see anybody. The doors are wide open. It's pitch dark, and so it's like the pandemic before the pandemic.
That's right. That was pretty creepy. I mean, even the clerk. Or the night clerk wasn't even there. I mean, nothing. There was emergency lights, no people. You didn't hear a sound. That was pretty creepy. That was my cue to take my ass home, which was a good
thing. You almost wanted to pull the fire alarm and run everybody out of the hotel, and then the next day, like, hey, I'm a squatter. I own this place. There's nobody here. It's just me, you know.
That's right. Yeah, the things like that happen with the paranormal. I mean, you can't make plans for anything, for equipment work, nothing. Even the electricity in the house can stay on. It's just not going to happen.
It was a weird night that night. Obviously, like I say, it went from comfortable to ice cold in there. I mean, just literally freezing.
It did, and it really, it was cold outside, but it wasn't that bad. And I know we had other people, other investigators with us that evening, and, you know, everything was going fine, and it just seemed like we all kind of, like, took a break and left, and we brought a couple of extra people in, and that's when the house decided that this isn't going to happen, and the house just shut it down.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you go outside into the cold to escape the cold, because it's so much worse inside, so...
Yes, definitely. But that was, I hope the people that the house was being restored, and I'm sure it was brought back to its original beauty because, man, that house was gorgeous.
Yeah, I know. The guy, he sold it, and obviously he sold the house next door that that he was living in, and then they moved out to the country, so... You know, I know his house was immaculate, and I'm pretty sure he did the same thing to that one before he sold it. So, kind of sucks, but at the same time, you got a chance to get there and check it out before it was, you know, sold to somebody else. So,
right, and I'm sure everything is settled down in there. I know that there wasn't a follow-up investigation, but I'm sure if anything crazy had happened, you'd have done heard about it by now.
I would hope so. You know, we can always add a little flavor to it and say, hey, run these people out of the house so we can come back here.
That's right. And this time we'll do it during the summer instead of the winter.
Yeah.
Maybe
exactly.
The cold pockets won't be so bad this time.
Well, can I plug a few places real quick before we get rolling, and then I'll jump into the fun that is, you know, the paranormal non-unity or whatever you want to call it these days.
Yes, please. I want to hear all about this.
Well, we got obviously my best paranormal friend in the world, Daryl Wisman, who runs Post Town Elementary, Middletown, Ohio. So you guys make sure, and this is all obviously after the pandemic because we're all closed down. We're all stuck in our house, twiddling our fingers. The only investigation I'm doing in my house is trying to figure out why my shadow is following me around because obviously it's as bored as I am.
For sure.
One of my new favorite places that I think everybody should check out is obviously the Conjuring House in Burrillville, Rhode Island, I think I say that right, but Corey and Jen Heinzen, they call it the House on Round Top Road if you're on Facebook. I just had a chance to check this place out when I got back from Europe, and I mean, I was there for 2 days, and obviously everybody thought I was crazy because I stayed the night by myself, and that place was as advertised. I mean, you just can't ask for a better place. As far as I got some of the clearest EVPs that I think I've ever gotten since I've been investigating. And it's always good when you can have other people there that, you know, kind of get scared and leave. Scared, I guess, is kind of the word. Maybe, I don't know if it's irritated or whatever, but I had some people that came with me from out of Michigan and they stayed for a few hours and I guess they had had enough and they said, we're going to the house. So,
well, because of the paranormal activity that was going on, or just
well, I think it was the off. I think it was the EVPs that were kind of associated with what the questions we were asking. I think it was more focused on them. You know, you kind of get the feeling when somebody is kind of freaked out. Obviously, the activity is going to ramp up. You know, to kind of put a fear in those people. Me, it's just like, okay, we tried, we're good, I guess it's not happening. He's not leaving, we're just going to have to live here with him. And so if my snoring and everything else didn't run him out or didn't try to get him to kick me out or throw me out of the bed, then obviously I was fine. So give a little shout-out to some friends I made in Europe out of Kidderminster, but they're called Real Paranormal Events UK, Lisa Bradbury. They took me on an awesome night at the Ancient Ram Inn. I mean, a place that's almost 1,000 years old, just unspeakable. I mean, to go in a place like that, you know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's just amazing to be in a building that's almost 1,000 years old. and see the activity and have a group like that run a great tour. So
that is something that none of us can actually imagine, because there's nothing around here that's that old other than the dirt.
Oh, I mean, it's just amazing over there. I planned on going back, and I'm still planning on going back once all the crazy pandemic is over with, and checking out some more places. I had looked into Scotland in October, and so hopefully, you know, they'll open up a few things before then. But if not, I'll just push it back and shoot for next year again, because I spent a month over there, and I tell you, it's just amazing to be around places that we just fall over to try to get into something like that, because you're seeing places that are 500, 600, 700 years old, and it's just normal to them. So,
right
there, it's a lot of just uncovered, priceless locations over there that you'd love to just be able to go in every one, you know, every day, because of the castles and everything else over there. It's just amazing. So, and
I'd be afraid I would never come back.
Oh, trust me, I did not want to come back. I mean, I checked out some places in Portugal, loved it. I mean, for the most part over there, people are just very, very friendly, outside of the Germans, but, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But,
it is.
I know, if it still holds up, Little Traverse Bay Parafest, my favorite convention everywhere, anywhere in Petoskey, Michigan. My buddy John Cassidy, he has been my brother, my friend for about 8 years, and he puts on the best event in the paranormal. That is true unity at that event. I mean, it's a very small event, a couple hundred people, about 10 or 15 guests, and everybody just has a great time, great weekend, no drama. So that's in October. Hopefully it's still going to happen. We'll see with all this pandemic craziness going on, but definitely something to shoot for. I know there's still some tickets left out there for that. And then lastly, I seem like I have some friends all over the place, but Winnipeg Paranormal out of Winnipeg, Canada, Ashley Barnes and Kelly Smith, great group that I've known for quite a few years, met them in Michigan at that event. So that's all my plugs for the night. But if you guys get to Canada, check them out. They do events up there too. But that's all my friends, all five of my friends right there. That's all I got, five friends. And Maria,
yeah.
That's six, sorry.
I don't know. Am I a friend or am I one of those that's the enemy I need to keep close?
No, we're all good. We don't, you know, we don't have to worry about waking up a sleeping bear. We all know what that is, but, you know, we don't wake up the sleeping bear.
Well, we do work well together, and that is hard to find. It's just, like you were talking about, the unity. They're just, it's crazy. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's like everybody's standing there, look at me, I've got the best evidence. Don't look over there, because they don't know what they're doing. It just blows my mind, the deceit and the trickery and just the outright lies that go on in this community when all we're trying to do is just figure out what the hell's going on when we're all dead.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing right now with the pandemic, and obviously nothing's open, no haunted locations, nobody, you know, with the big head going around saying I'm the greatest investigator and I've got the greatest TV show. And, you know, it's just, there's none of these events right now that you always wonder why they want to charge a couple hundred dollars to come to an event at a location, when sometimes you can book the whole place yourself for, you know, $300 or $400, but just because they've decided to add a TV paracelebs or whatever. And I'm not saying all the TV paracelebs are bad people. But at the same time, it's kind of funny now that you hope these people that have, I guess, taken money from the field, whether it be from TV or whatever, that are not on TV or filming right now, have invested wisely, because, you know, there is no more the trickery and the, you know, the seances and everything else that these people are doing to get your money going on right now.
Yeah, that's true. You were talking about some of the TV paranormal groups, people, celebrities, whatever you want to call them. I think you and I have talked about Portal to Hell show before. I don't know if you're familiar. I know you're familiar with Katrina, correct?
Oh, just amazing. I mean, I can't even tell you what a very personal public person she is. I kind of feel like she's in the wrong setup, obviously, with Jack Osborne and that bunch. But I mean, I met her at Parafest a couple of years ago in Michigan, and just you couldn't ask for a better person, a better, more personal person. I mean, she did an investigation, and I didn't, you know, it didn't matter what anybody talked about as far as nothing was off limits with her when it comes to the paranormal. No stupid questions, anything else. She was just very, you know, very attentive to everybody. But the show itself, you know, it's kind of like the rest of your shows. It's like, why do you keep going and doing the same places? When
right,
those are places
the,
we can
the well-known places.
Yeah, I mean, we, me and you can go and investigate those places. I want to see something on TV that I can't get into that, you know, that you can only get into to it, you know, through a production company or a TV show, not something I can go to every day and investigate.
Right. Right. And that's a lot of what I enjoyed about doing residential investigations, because not only is that something that's new, the most important part of that is that you're helping somebody. You're helping somebody that is scared to death, that doesn't understand what's going on. That's what we're supposed
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. I mean, that's a lot of forgotten, you know, with the as far as the big locations and big businesses or whatever. It's kind of went off the deep end with, you know, let's promote a location that the location should be promoting themselves. It's not, you're not helping anybody except their pocketbook. You're not helping a family. You're not helping somebody that has, you know, a kid that may be seeing stuff that they, you know, the family can't figure out if they're, you know, their kid is actually, you know, seeing something or if there's an actual issue there. And they've gotten away from that for a long time. And, you know, it's, I guess it's not what people want to watch, but at the same time, you've got the, you know, everything's a demon shows that, you know, are not getting the best ratings anymore. No pun intended, Ghost Adventures, but ever since their last live event and how everything just kind of fell apart, when you see a scripted show bring on a rabbi, I think it was, that completely goes off script and they don't know what to do because he's not going along with what they're saying. That's what I want to see, because you've got somebody that says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to keep to my profession and not, you know, do what you guys tell me to do.
Right.
And,
who knows if that's even the correct divot box anyway.
Oh, exactly. You know, I mean, I talked to Jason Haxton on a radio show a few years ago, and he swore to me that that box would never leave his hands. It never, you know, at the time it was buried in a place on his property that only he knew how to get to it. And, you know, I just don't believe that for any amount of money he would get rid of that thing, just because he knew and he saw obviously the danger that thing was. So why would he want to put it into, you know, Zach's hands and put it in his, you know, so-called haunted, haunted museum in Las Vegas, and, you know, Zach's out there charging $50 a person to go and check this out. I'm like, yeah, I believe I'll keep my money. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, and that, since you're on the Zach subject, that episode with the Annabelle and how he couldn't just keep himself from reaching out and grabbing a hold of it, scripted or not?
Oh, I think it's definitely scripted. I mean, my thing is with the Annabelle doll, you know, there was a, and God rest her soul, I never had a chance to meet her, Lorraine Warren. There was a few years ago that Tony Spera did this big live video. He was going to move the doll one last time to a new location, new box, everything else, you know, did this big, you know, reveal, everything else, this big YouTube live or whatever. But my thing is, they take this doll in the box and stuff to this convention once a month or once every few months at a hotel. And I'm like, you know, it's just, to me, you have to wonder if that's real, or, you know, if he just don't care enough to, you know, take this thing out in public just to make some money.
Right.
I mean, Lorraine would roll over if she knew that he was not taking care of her stuff the way it should be.
Correct. I think if something is supposed to be that dangerous, that it's never to leave the spot that it's at. And if, I hope if anything ever happens, he learns a lesson not to do that again. I mean, just to quit. The Haunted Museum, people want to come up there, fine. That way you can keep it protected, because you don't know what's going to happen when you're traveling with it. I mean, that's crazy. If it's that haunted, something could happen
exactly
to you.
Exactly.
Just pack it.
Exactly. And that's the thing with these shows, you know, like this show Destination Fear. It's just, it's a fear to watch it, in my opinion, because it's a better budget paranormal state with, you know, with their one cameraman or whatever you want to call it, with this kid that was YouTube famous before Zach made him famous, and then he gets his own show. But, you know, if you've investigated as many times as we have, you don't run out of the house and you're not screaming like, you know, somebody just, you know, broke your leg or something like that. It's just like, and these, they just overdo this so much. And it's just funny to me, their second season is getting ready to start back up, and I'm not plugging them by any means, but it's, you go back to something that was said leading up to the second season, and, you know, this guy, Dakota, I've talked to him on Facebook, and I just gave him a little information, like, hey, dude, I don't know you, I don't know what you're about, but I hope that you're, you know, taking this serious, you know, since you're on TV, and, you know, don't let the production companies, you know, try to run you and do, you know, pretty much tell you what to do, because you have a chance to be the, I guess, the newer, because he's younger. You get a chance to actually show people that, you know, all TV's not, you know, garbage and scripted. And he comes back at me and he's like, well, you know, have you ever, you know, can you imagine what the normal person would do sleeping in a place in the dark? And I'm like, but that's the normal person. That's not you. You've been on YouTube for, you know, years. You've been on Ghost Adventures, but yet you're still on there running, screaming like something's got a hold of you and chasing you out of, you know, out of these locations.
Yeah, and he never did that when he was a cameraman for
Ghost Adventures. No, exactly not. Exactly. You know, that's the thing. It's like, if you can sit there and hold a camera and not freak out, but then somebody's filming you and you hear a bang and you jump up and want to run down the hallway. You know, he said, our last road trip was extremely intense and it took a major toll on us, but our curiosity got the best of us. Well, I think your curiosity was your salary. The kind of, you know, the TV show said, hey, we'll give you some more money to come back for a second season. You know, so then he jumps in and says, well, you know, let's come back and do another season. And maybe it wasn't so bad there, you know. How can you be freaked out to the point of questioning coming back and then come out and say, well, we're going to go even further this time. You know, we're better equipped from what we learned the first time around, but, you know, let's go to some darker places, you know, and let's not let the fear chase us, as he said, let's chase it. But of course you're going to see them at a location. They're going to scream and run like little girls again. So it's amazing what money can do, you know, when somebody throws some money at you, and how they want to write your script for you, write your articles for you, you know, for, hey, you need to say this, you know, you need to say this. So.
Right. And I've kind of been involved with that part of it, I guess. I had, because I was interviewed for the Ghost Hunters show on a experience that I had had. And when they showed the episode, because of all of this crazy, I mean, we had some crazy stories and we told them. And they played them. And they talked about them. But when they did the investigation on that show, it was a big joke. It was more about a spider that was on Steve's back. The whenever they did the reveal, they had enough evidence out of that place. They could have done an hour show just on that place, but they won EVP to make it sound like that place was just as sweet and innocent and as it could be, which the place we're at is a good place to be. But you don't have the experiences that we did and come off and then sugarcoat it. They, if that's what they wanted, they should not have showed the interviews that they did with the people. But it hooked everybody in. And that's what
I know,
they
there's wanted. There's so many gullible people that watch TV shows and believe everything they see on there. And, again, like you say, they show a grunt or something that doesn't even relate to the location. And you know, it's kind of like this idiot Steve Huff that runs Huff Paranormal. Not plugging him either, but this is the guy who every time a celebrity dies, he's on, you know, he's on YouTube or he's on something saying, "Look, I contacted him. I contacted heaven and everything else." And then you ask people that want to sit there and defend him, like, "So what did you hear when he was doing his ghost box session or whatever?" "Well, I'm not sure, but it sounded like what he said." You know, and that's the goal when you're like, so you don't have any idea what you heard, but you're just saying, "Well, it sounded like what he said."
Right.
And this is a guy who makes stupid amounts of money off these ghost boxes and stuff he sells, and I guess everybody, you know, you're not cool these days if you don't have a Patreon account, you know, that somebody can subscribe to, so you know they can see what you're putting out, like on Facebook, and then you know you can be entered in to win a part of their investigation if you spend $50 a month or $100 a month to be on their Patreon account. I mean, there's people that are making thousands of dollars on a Patreon account, and you're not getting any more than you would if you decided to get on their Instagram or their Facebook that they're posting on every day.
Right. But people are hungry. And that's like I had a conversation this afternoon with Sherry, who is the co-host, Psychic Medium Sherry. Y'all check out her Facebook page. That's my plug for her this evening. Incredible. The people that they follow this, they'll find a medium or a psychic, or they'll get a reading or something. And then they move on and they get a connection, and then they move on to the next one, and they move on to the next one, and they spend tons of money to get the same freaking information that they got from the first medium. And
yeah,
it's
you know,
like an addiction.
It is, and that's the thing. I don't quite get, and like you say, it's a perfect word, addiction. I don't get how somebody can go tomorrow and visit a psychic and then go back a month and, "Hey, I just want to see if anything changed since the last time I was here. You know, here's another $100 or whatever, you know, for your hour's time." Because, you know, there's plenty of these psychics that charge, you know, $50, $60, $70 for an hour, or, you know, it's almost like in person dollar a minute. You know, you get 30 minutes for $30 and then, "Oops, hold on, your time's up. Let me restart the clock. It's going to be another $30 to hear the rest of whatever I'm telling you." And you've got the people that, I mean, I have called fake psychics out for a while, and it's just funny to watch the ones that close their eyes and look like they're waiting on God to give them the answer, or looking up to the heavens to get their answer because they're so off base, and the person in front of them is like, "Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm lost. You know, nothing you're telling me is correct." And you've got the fake psychic, the cold reader, whatever you want to call them, that's there with their eyes closed, like they're looking for the answers, you know, to be just thrust at them when they're actually trying to figure out, okay, what do I tell this person next that may hit, you know, that they'll understand what I'm talking about or believe what I'm talking about, when obviously all they're doing is just, "Hey, give me your money so I can move on to the next one."
Right. And the thing is that a lot of people don't understand that if you meet up with a real medium and you want to have a reading done, they're going to give you information that there's no way that they could have known about you. Nothing that could have been found at Facebook or any social media website. they're going to know things and they're going to say things. They're not going to understand what they're telling you because they don't know you and they don't know your history.
But I have visited. I have visited numerous psychics, medium. I hate the word psychic, but I've visited numerous people with gifts, if you want to just say it that way, over the years. And literally, there's only been two that have just blown me away. That, you know, I believe that they had an actual, you know, ability. And one's Brian Danhausen out of Michigan. I mean, that guy does energy paintings and. He's just unbelievable. He's probably one of the best I've ever seen anywhere to tell you some. I mean, to sit there and just take a couple minutes of your time, you know, hold your hand, kind of, you know, he jerks, he puts his headphones in, he starts painting, come back. And, you know, for him to tell me some of the things he told me that, you know, 6 months later happens, you know, that's a gift to me. And when you've got somebody, you know, she's been out of the paranormal for a while, but she wasn't a practicing medium or whatever. But a girl out of Ohio, Ashley Anthony, she read me in Ohio at the Emmett House years ago. And it was just me and her one-on-one. She's sitting in a chair. I'm sitting in a chair. And she had so much energy coming off of her. I was swaying in the chair about ready to pass out because, you know, and that's the thing.
Wow.
You know, when you have a feeling like that, there's no way to describe it. You know that she is just, you know, her energy is just going through you. And, I mean, she was reading me and telling me, it was like reading a book. You know, if I wanted to write a book about my past life, you know, that the stuff happened to me when I was 18 and so on. I mean, she told me what the house looked like, what the inside of the house looked like. I mean, it was insane. But, again, that is the feeling for me. When you have a feeling like that, that you can't hardly, I mean, it's almost like you're sick, you know.
See, I've not ever
had a reading.
I've never had a reading that took me in that direction. I've had the opportunities, but did not.
Oh, I think we've all had that.
I just don't want to have one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's, you know, I don't want to say that I judge a psychic or a medium when I get a reading, you know, it's my money. So let me do what I want to do. But, you know, it's like, I've seen some of the psychics. I mean, there's a couple in, I hate to revolve back to Michigan because not all of Michigan bad, but there's a couple up there, one out of Detroit and the other one, I'm not sure where she's from, but they do seances and stuff, at a place called Stimson Hospital in Eaton Rapids. And, you know, you've got, I don't care, you know me, Rebecca Smuck and Kristen Roberts, you know, it's funny when you watch a video and they're inside doing their own live video, this place before this event. And every time one of them talks, the other one looks back at the other one almost to like verify what they're saying. You know, it's like not every medium or whatever is going to get the same feeling, but you can tell when you've got a couple of phonies on the line that want to look back at you. Hey, I'm just telling you right now, you know, obviously you're in Stimson Hospital. And I'm in the boiler room and I'm just, you know, I'm smelling charcoal and I'm smelling burning, you know, and they look back at the other one. Yeah, I smell that too. You know, that's when you know that keep your $60 or $80 they're charged and then go, you know, go buy some groceries or something. Because if they're trying to verify through each other of what they're seeing or what they're smelling, you know, it's the video was so heinous that, you know, obviously, they know where they're at. They didn't just walk in off the street, or else they wouldn't be having an event there. And you're like, well, I see nurses, and I smell blood, and I hear kids running through the hallways and stuff, you know. And I'm like, everything that would be at a hospital, you know, it's like, you know, what is this? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me that, you know, you didn't know anything was going on here until you got here? We didn't realize we were, you know, having an event at an old hospital.
Right.
And so, you know, and it's just the gullible people that spend their money and go and waste their money on this kind of stuff, you know. And I mean, I sent them a message. I'm like, seriously, I mean, how can you all sit here and charge people money for the nonsense you're wanting to put out here? You know?
Right. And
you
then
can't
they get upset.
You can't save everybody. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Can't save everybody. I mean, you try to save these people's money from, you know, them wasting their money, but it's just, like you say, it's like an addiction. And
it really is.
There is. It's like tarot cards. If you can make up a good story while you're doing tarot card readings, I'm not saying everybody that's, you know, does tarot cards is fake, but I'm saying 90% of them are. You can make up a story about every picture on that card. And if you hit on one thing, that person just shelling out money. Oh my gosh, that's me, definitely. You know, you're Scorpio. Oh my gosh, you're definitely right. You're right. You know, and it's just like, I thought we were past all that, but it's more and more evident anymore.
No, and it is. It's getting worse. It really is. You know, there's a TV show that came out that I really wanted it to be legit, and it's not. And I know these TV shows are geared towards population. They're not anybody that is in the paranormal, but it was the new Skinwalker Ranch TV show.
Oh, yeah.
That's come out.
Yeah.
And I watched the first one, and I just rolled my eyes, and I don't even know how I stomached getting through the whole thing. And then I watched the second one, and I thought, this is just crazy. It is so scripted, and that guy is not a good actor at all at trying to be a normal human being. But they're doing is just cheesy. It's not even real investigating. I mean, you're setting up cameras and you're doing, got all this high tech stuff. Bravo. But you're not getting to anything.
Exactly. You talk about actors, you know, you think it's the amount of money that it costs to produce one of these shows and produce each episode with the time you pay your people and you pay your production and everything, you know, everything that's going into that episode. God, if you're gonna get somebody that can't act, then, you know, go find a C or D list somebody, you know, somebody that's actually acted in Hollywood or something like that, and put them on there for an hour, you know, and at least you're gonna get the views because of that person being on there, and they're gonna not obviously suck so bad as an actor as somebody who you're just throwing in there and saying, here's $1,000, give it your best shot, you know.
Yeah, it just Travis Taylor, that's to be in astrophysicist or something, but I don't know, it blows my mind. And that's like these conventions and stuff that goes on, and you go to a lot of those or conferences or whatever you want to call them, and a lot of the people you know personally, and you know who is full of it and who is not. It's important for people to know who's full of it. But the sad part is that, I mean, you can tell somebody the sky's blue all day long. If they don't see it themselves, they're not going to believe you.
Exactly. I mean, it blows my mind with, you know, you see these conventions all across the country still. I mean, they disappeared for a little bit, and then they pop back up. And you've got 8 people on a guest list that you couldn't find in the phone book if you closed your eyes and just pointed. And yet they want you to pay, you know, $50 a day to come to this event, like it's going to be life-changing and just blow your mind. And I'm like, does anybody even in this area know these people? Do these people that you're having at this event know each other? I mean, you know, it's like, again, where did you find these people? Is it just like, I put out a YouTube video, can I be at your convention? Here's, you know, bring me to your convention, you know. Give me $1,000 to be a celebrity guest at your convention, you know.
Right.
Give me the money.
Maybe
I mean,
that's
hell,
what
I can
we
tell
need to
I...
do. That's what we need to do. We need to act like celebrities at a big convention.
I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, we were talking earlier about this online convention that's happening. And they want people to pay $15 a person to watch people online, you know, in a convention-style setting. And, you know, I told you about one that was playing last year that never came to fruition, and you had some lady wanted to have a convention online and wanted you to pay $50 to have a vendor table at her convention, and you know, like your own online shopping experience or whatever. And I'm like, how about I just, you know, direct people to my Facebook page if I'm selling metaphysical stuff instead of giving you money, you know, for nothing. I mean, you know,
right.
What are you paying for? You know, if you have 10 people right. that view that or 20 people that view that, was that really worth your $50 or whatever it was to have your little, you know, your little plug for your online shop, I guess you could say? I mean,
yeah,
I know we're in a pandemic and it's the same.
Exactly.
I know we're in a pandemic, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll just go watch YouTube or, you know, watch something else and not, you know, not spend $15. And granted, there's a couple of people I would pay money for to watch them speak, but at the same time, there's a bunch on there that I couldn't care less. You know, I wouldn't give you $15 to go and watch them speak in person, much less waste time to, you know, spend an hour of their lecture online.
Right. Right. There's very few people that I would go watch speak at all. I mean, John Tenney is one of them. And I have watched one of his presentations before, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Everybody else that was there, not so much. You know, it's like Amy Rudy and Adam Berry. I just don't care. They may be good people, but I just don't care anything about them. About their style, about how they do things. I just don't like it.
I would pay John Tenney to tell the same story over and over again just to sit and listen to him talk. I mean, he'll tell you, one minute I'm talking about Bigfoot, next minute I'm talking about UFOs, and last thing, I don't believe in none of it, but I believe in all of it. I mean, that guy
right.
is just, he's the most knowledgeable, I mean, just, he's quirky, but I mean, he's good. I mean, like I said, he can tell the same story over and over again. You're just sitting there like, wow, I'm enjoying it the whole time. Even though I heard the same story yesterday, he's one of the best speakers I think I've ever heard.
He is. And he does his research, and it's not just research that he does. He goes back through history. He'll find something and he will follow the trail backwards until he can't find any more information about that subject.
Exactly.
And
I will tell you,
he tells you.
You know, I'll tell you one person that I wouldn't spend a dime on to listen to them speak, talk, or anything else, because, you know, they're so full of themselves and they want to, you know, be 50 years old and wearing my red T-shirt around that's got puffy paint on it says I'm awesome. It's Kenny Biddle.
I knew we couldn't go a night without hearing about him. I can't stand this man, and I've never met him.
You know, I met this guy years ago at Louisville Ghost Hunters Paracon. I don't even know what it's called. Oh, the Mid-South, that's what it was, run by the rock and roll ghost hunter, Keith Age. Don't let me plug his name either, because, you know, another one of those guys that you were hoping would retire, but still people are giving him money to come to conventions. But Kenny Biddle, there's no way to explain what a complete waste of time and oxygen and air this man is. He, you know, when I met him, obviously it wasn't obviously the best scenario. We did a convention up there, and obviously my stepdaughter, 14 at the time, had doing her teen medium stuff. And again, I asked her if I could bring this up, and she said, sure. But, you know, we went to grab something to eat and left her at the table so she could kind of mingle and everything else, doing her reading and stuff like that. And come back, and she said, some guy came and talked to me and wanted to do a video, said he was doing a collage for the convention. And I was like, who is it? She's like, I don't know, you know. And I didn't think anything about it, you know. I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that are probably doing that at the convention. And so day goes on, we leave, you know, go on our way home. Somebody calls me and says, hey, there's some guy on Facebook trying to call out some teenager. And I'm like, said he was at that event you're all at. I'm like, what's his name? Kenny Biddle. And I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. So I get on there, and he has made a video and made a post that says, you know, hey, I was at this convention today. I saw this teenager, and definitely tell she's a cold reader and everything else. And I decided to take a video of her, and I'm thinking about posting it for everybody to see and call her out. And I'm like, the words of anger running through me at that time were just through the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, so obviously I tried to send him a message. There was 300-400 comments on there. Dude, what are you doing? First off, she's not 18. So you obviously, you know, you broke the statute of limitations, whatever you want to call it. You filmed a minor, and you're going to put it out there for everybody to see, which is going to mean the police are going to be at your house pretty soon, you know, if you're going to sit out here and post this stuff. And,
right.
You know, he puts it out there. You know, I sit down in front of her and ask her to give me a reading, and, you know, I blocked her, and she said she couldn't get anything off of me. And I'm like, dude, if you're blocking the best medium psychic in the world, if you're blocking them, is not going to be picking up anything. But secondly, she said, I can't get anything because I don't really think there's anything around you. And she was very honest with him. Of course, he didn't want to put that information out there. He wanted to put out there, well, yeah, you know, he's part of this guerrilla skeptics group out of Las Vegas. And granted, I agree with some of the stuff they do. Don't get me wrong. I agree, you know, if they go and call out, you know, the big Long Island medium and stuff like that, they set up these people, these plants, you call them, at these events. And they'll call out mediums in a way of, you know, kind of like, let me tell you Maria's life story in a big setting. And that way, when somebody hears it, then she'll get called on by the psychic at the event and be like, oh, you know, Maria, you've got all this stuff going on. You know, you've got this, this, and this. It's because you were a plant talking about yourself, you know, and that's the way to kind of to sell it, that you picked up on something. Obviously, when the psychic didn't pick up on anything, just what they overheard or what their people had heard out, you know, out in the lobby. So,
right.
Granted, I don't have a problem with things done that way because you've got these TV psychics that are charging hundreds of dollars to come to an event. But when it comes to Kenny Biddle, the amount of hatred for this man is just through the roof, because again, you try to come after a teenager and you kind of hope that these people disappear because, and you know, I'm going to be straight honest. You know, I read an article that the New York Times posted last year about some ongoing fake psychic sting that was going on. And the lady who runs that Skeptical Gorillas or whatever, you know, they had been casing these events and doing all these, you know, calling out the psychics and everything else. And then out of nowhere, here's Kenny Biddle's name. And I'm like, oh, my God. Let's, you know,
yeah,
not give him any more gas to put on the fire. You have to put this idiot in the middle of this. And I'm telling you right now, you know, I don't care if he hears this or whatever. I guess his wife is just as bad as he is. And that's kind of those, you can brainwash everybody, especially those around you. And he told a story, you know, this is how the New York Times reported it, that, you know, his wife was like, tell him about the Jenny Wade story. And Jenny Wade was a 20-year-old woman during the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. She died by a stray bullet. And she was the only civilian casualty during those three bloody days, they call it. And so the story goes is that a man visiting the battlefield had a picture that his daughter took and discovered a ghostly image in a window of a woman in period clothes. He thought, you know, just being a photographer or whatever, or, you know, his daughter taking a picture, that maybe it was Jenny Wade. So he submitted the picture to Kenny Biddle, who's this, as he calls it, this professional photographer. He can tell you if it's a real picture, you know, or whatever. And so Kenny, living up in that area, said he wasted no time going to Gettysburg, using the same camera, taking the same shot, and revealing how the old glass created an image and made it look like the back of a woman dressed in a Civil War period dress. And now, granted, I know Kenny to be this kind of person, but this is where I throw his wife in there. His wife in this article says, go ahead, Kenny, tell him what happened. Tell him how you crushed this guy's dream and how he was literally in tears because you didn't tell him, obviously, that, you know, the picture that his daughter had taken was, you know, obviously not real, by, you know, Kenny's professional opinion. And Kenny said back, well, that's why I wear this Thor's hammer pendant around my neck, smiling. And that's my thing. You don't obviously care about a guy who obviously wasn't trying to pass off that this is real. He just thought, me and my daughter went to Gettysburg. She took a picture. Could this be a picture of Jenny Wade or whatever? So you not only, you know, crush this guy in a way, and it probably wasn't the guy himself. He's thinking about, you know, what do I go back and tell my daughter who thought maybe she got caught ghost on camera? Well, here's this asshole who decided to, you know, sit here and say, no, it's fake or whatever, you know, go back and tell your kid that, you know, go back to, you know, playing video games or whatever. Don't let her keep taking pictures of nonsense, you know, and that's the thing. He doesn't care if you're a teenager, if you're an adult or whatever. And of course he goes on his Facebook and he's like, no, you know, that's not how the story was supposed to go. You know, New York Times, they reported this wrong. I didn't say all that stuff. And I don't treat people like that. That's not the kind of guy I am. And I'm like, that's exactly the kind of guy you are.
And you know, and you've been through that. Somebody will bring something to you. They think that they've captured a picture of something and they want your opinion of it. If, you know, and that's where you have to weigh. Hey, I mean, if somebody is so excited and they think they've captured an apparition through a window, and it kind of looks like it, but in your head you're going, man, this could just be a reflection of a tree or something like that. You're not going to come out and say that to somebody. You're not going to totally crush them. You know,
well,
if they want to believe, let them believe. But, I mean, if it's somebody that's trying to sell their picture to a major magazine or something like that and they're wanting recognition for it, yeah, that's where you kind of go, look, dude, that's not how what's going on.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. So it's like I have had many times that, you know, I may think I hear something when I'm doing my EVP stuff and everything else, and I sit there and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't hear that. So I'll ask two or three other people. And I don't care what they tell me. I'm not going to get upset if they hear something I don't, because eventually it might be exactly what they talked about. You know, and that's the thing. You get so many people asking your opinion, and they're so hell-bent on what they got that when you tell them, you know, hey, I don't know, or maybe, you know, it's not that, then they get all upset. But at the same time, you don't go and you make a mockery out of a guy whose daughter took a picture and was like, go back, you know, it's not real, here's what it is, and whatever. And then you and your family are just making fun of it. Like, tell them what happened. Tell them how you crushed this guy. Tell them how he was crying and everything else. You know what?
Right. That's not what we're about. You know, that's not what. And I'm like you, if I see something fake going on, I'm going to call it out. Or if I, you know, because there's, you know, somebody I've investigated with, and there towards the end, there was some sketchy shit that was going on. And I really had to step back and question that. It's like these people get investigating for so long, and then they think that they have to make things better and bigger and better and lie about it. That's how you destroy your own career. You don't have to have some skeptic to come in and tell you that you're faking evidence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing was the next year I went back to this event. I made sure to find him when I was there first thing. He had no idea who it was. He didn't, you know, he didn't see me or probably didn't remember me from the year before as far as on Facebook or whatever. And, because he, you know, through another chain of messages, there was a friend of ours that, you know, I think sent Kenny a message and said, hey, you either let this go or I'm going to come and, you know, maybe find where you're at, you know, and show you this is not how you treat kids and everything else. But I found him the next year, and as soon as he walked in, now, granted, he's with his kid, who's probably her age, you know, teenager, 14, 15, whatever, and his wife. And I said, hey, Kenny, can I talk to you real quick? You know, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm with my family, whatever. I said, hey, introduce myself. And he's like, there's just a look of shock on his face. And I'm like, he's like, hey, man, you know, look, I apologize to your daughter and stuff last year, whatever. I'm like, but you know, you didn't apologize to me. You didn't tell me like a man what you did was completely out of your mind. I said, what happens if I do something like this to your kid? What's going to be your first reaction? You know, and he didn't know what to say. And then he tried to be friendly all weekend. I said, dude, stay away from me. Stay away from her. If you get within a foot of her table, it's going to be on. Because to me, just the lowest, you're the lowest part of anything when you try to come after a kid, you know, and especially, you know, that's the thing that with these stupid shows out there, you're hoping that, you know, that these people would take it more serious because you've got kids and teenagers that are watching this and wanting to go and investigate and wanting to be like everybody else, wanting to be cool like the adults to get to go and check out all the haunted stuff. But then you watch these shows and you're like, you know, you hope the kids are not taking any of this in because they're not teaching them anything on there except for everything's a demon. If something moves in your house, it's a demon. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that a lot. And it's just, you know, if you hear something hiss or growl at you, you know, the first thing they do is slip out. Oh, my gosh, there's a demon here. No. That's not how this works.
And, you know, that's the
no,
thing.
No, they're not learning.
I'm not saying, no, they're not learning anything. I mean, you're showing them that, you know, and most kids are seeing this SLS and everything else, and they're out trying to take their Kinect and their Xbox and everything apart trying to investigate, but all they're learning is, I don't see the same thing they saw on TV or you know, it's like they're not teaching anybody anything except for, hey, look at how much money I can make faking and doing stuff that obviously I have no idea what I'm doing. So many of these people on TV have no background in paranormal, you know. They found these people off the street or found these people who had a good audition tape. It's like, hey, you want to be a ghost hunter? It's easy. It's easy. We'll tell you what to do. We'll give you some equipment. We'll show you how easy it works, and here you go. Here's some money. Here's a show. You know, good luck.
Right. Be sure somebody in the room has a cell phone on so your equipment goes off. And then you can tell everybody this place is haunted. It's that easy.
And there's so many gullible investigators that you know, try every day to get on TV and get to be part of a TV show. I'm like, what's the point? If you're on TV for one season, was it worth selling yourself out as a regular investigator, a person? Is it worth selling yourself out for $1,000 an episode for six episodes? Look, you sold yourself for $6,000 so everybody could get on Facebook and your page and everything else and say what a crappy show, what a waste of an hour was for me to watch this show, because that's something you don't live down. You know, God, you know, why do I want to go and see you at a convention, or why do I want to watch your show? Because, God, your show is horrible, you know.
Right. Well, you know, you look at ghost hunters, when they first come on, I mean, that was it. But they had that show, and nobody else had anything like it. And all of that always went through however the producer wanted to present the show. And they went through producers all the time, and you could tell that because from season to season, the way that they presented the show was completely different. Again, I watched it, and then it was like all it was is they'd sit around and gossip about each other. And I quit watching it. I mean, I don't want to watch stupid drama.
Yeah, and you know, there was, you hope that they fired the editor for the two episodes that you clearly see the actual fake stuff going on. And I mean, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I mean, there was an episode where ghost hunters did I think it was a mansion in Massachusetts or somewhere up there. And you hear a whistle and the camera turns around and you see Grant's mouth like with a whistle thing to it. And you're like, well, somebody didn't edit that right. You know, that you saw that happen. And then again, you see, Fort Delaware, I believe it is in Dover, Delaware, where Grant's walking through a tunnel and you see his jacket get pulled up. And everybody, I think, that's seen that is what, you know, the string that was attached. And I'm like, so who edited this that, you know, that you didn't manage to not catch that? Oops, we should have cut that. We should have edited that right so people couldn't see that, you know. And
yeah,
it even goes back. And I mean,
that was supposed to happen on one of their live shows, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was a Halloween show that they did that on. So, you know, you've got a ton of people watching it. And, of course, you know, people are like, oh, my gosh, look, something grabbed his jacket. Look, it pulled up. And then you go back and it's been looked at I don't know how many times. And you see that string, you know, you see that thing hook and pull. And
right. These
are, you know, I try to tell people that.
Yet they're still on TV.
I can honestly say I've auditioned for one show in all these years, and that was the newest season of Ghost Hunters. I sent in an audition or whatever, and then you see, again, people that you've never heard of except for the one girl from Ghost Mine. But it's like, why do you keep bringing people that – and the amount of money that they put into each show – just blows my mind. Like, how about you save some money and get some quality to it? Because you're flying six people around to a location that actually are on the show. Then you want to fly 5 or 10 production people to be there, you know, to do the B-roll footage and everything else. The amount of money that you just spent to put on a crappy show, you could have probably spent less, you know, not had 7 people on an investigation on a TV show and had a better production value, just having a few people there that, you know, maybe do know what they're talking about instead of a bunch of people who don't have any idea what the world they're talking about.
That's because keeps watching these shows.
They're a pretty face that you can put on TV. That's what it comes down to. Hey, will their face sell? Will their personality sell? We don't really care if they have any knowledge. We can give them a script to read. We just need for their face and their personality to sell because we don't care if they know anything about ghosts, and that's what it comes down to. Here, we're going to give you this script, and this is your background. This is your background. This is what you do. This is what you did in the past. You know.
They're right, but it, you know, these shows go on for seasons and seasons, and they can be crappy, but when they show just some little type of evidence or EVP, you know, people get hooked and they just want to keep watching it more and more.
I mean,
it's just one of those things. Not everybody gets to investigate like we do. You know, it's a lot of these places that you go to, it's a privilege to be able to go.
Exactly.
And it's a respect thing. And people think that a lot of people want to go because they want to get scared, and that's not what this is about. But
I mean, how many times since you've been investigating have you been asked by somebody, so why all the TV shows investigate in the dark? Don't this stuff happen all the time? You know, doesn't it happen during the day and stuff too? I'm like, it's just they're spooky, their fear factor, if you want to know. I'm like, this stuff happens all the time. It's just not because they turn the lights off, they're investigating in the dark. That's the spooky, the fear they want you to see. You know, because if you got some gullible person like, oh my gosh, you know, my table moved to my house yesterday, but it was at noon. So what am I supposed to do? You know, this stuff doesn't happen during the day. It happens, look, like on the TV shows when it's dark.
Right. Well, and the sad part about it is during the day we're so busy and we're not paying attention. There's probably a lot of para stuff that goes on, and we're just oblivious to it because the TV's on, or we're cooking, or we're busy cleaning, or we're, you know, active with the kids or whatever. You just don't pay attention to that stuff. Nighttime is when everybody, like, wants to get everything settled down. It's quiet, and it's creepy because it's dark, and you can't see. So, that, like you said, that sells so much better.
Well, and that's the thing you think about with the TV shows and in the dark and everything else, and it kind of jumps me to, you know, people are getting scared in the dark and everything else, but then you've got these so-called demonologists, you know, I'm a demonologist, look at my certificate, look at who I've been trained by or whatever. And you know as well as I do, these people, if they actually had to come across a real demon, a real entity that was that bad, they wouldn't have any idea what to do. There's no training that anybody can give you as far as a paranormal investigator, demonologist, or whatever, that is going to prepare you for something like that.
No. No. That's why we have priests. And some of them don't
exactly.
even want to deal with it.
I mean, why do you think it takes so long for an actual, you know, we don't hear about it, you know, that much because it's, you know, they try to hide it, but exorcisms here in the States, why do you think it takes so long for something like that to be approved? Because they have so many idiots that are calling on a daily basis. Oh, my house is crazy. You know, I need an exorcism. I need this. And I need somebody to come to my house. I've got a demon in my house. I know because I watched Ghost Adventures and everything that they did on that show is happening in my house. I know there's a demon here. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
You hope there's just an answer machine that's taking messages you can just delete so you don't have to call these crazies back. They're like, oh, you know, here's another one of these people who watch a TV show and swears up and down that there's a demon in their house because their curtain's blue, and that's the same thing that happened on the TV show the other night. So we need you to send a priest over here. We need to exorcise this house.
What was the name of that show? Ghost Adventures. Zach and them were on it, and it was, they would go back, they would bring these people in for face-to-face interviews after these places that they went to investigate. Well, do you remember the name of that
Ghost,
show?
I think it was Ghost Adventures. Let me look real quick. I think it was like Ghost Adventures Revisited or something like that, where they would go back and
like
talk
that.
To people.
I can remember Wanda Kay. I never did get to see it, but Kay, it was after they had done Bobby. Yeah. They had done Bobby at Mackey's, and they brought her back in there. And it was, that show seemed more like they were not making fun of, but they were ridiculing almost the people that were at these haunted places. Did you get that impression?
Yeah, that's the way I look at it. You know, it's they want to, like, say, ridicule, and then at the same time, they want to keep their crazy antics as far through the roof as they can because, look, we're one-on-one, so it's not like we're behind a camera. Look, this is one-on-one. This is not, you know, scripted or anything else, so let's just keep on with what we're doing and act crazy while we're here. But at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, why ridicule? If that was the case, why'd you go in the first place, you know?
Well, that was my impression after they were doing that. And I've noticed sometimes on their show that the people that they're there interviewing used to, they would kind of make fun of them behind their backs. But then it would end up making it on the show. And I was like, why would you ever do that? And I've noticed they've kind of quit doing that. They've not done that in a while that I've noticed. But I can remember, especially because I had met Wanda Kay. And matter of fact, she was the one that ran that house. It was called the Wolf House up there in Taylor Mills for a while because she was helping a friend out. But she was just a really nice lady. I mean, I just loved her to death, and I only met her. I had only been around her a couple of times. And then to think that, you know, that was done to her on that show, that bothered me. I just, you know, it's like we're trying to do this all together. There's no reason to make fun of people that experience paranormal activity that they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to help you out. So I'm kind of glad that trend has gone away for now. Now it seems
like
it's coming
up
more in the UFO field.
I remember back when Ghost Hunters did Bobby Mackey's, and Literally, I had a friend that was part of the show, and they said, you know, there was 23 production people there to film that Bobby Mackey's episode. And what it was at the time, I think it was Jason, Grant, and Steve. They went and they filmed like an hour to get their footage in, and then everybody else went and filmed B-roll the whole time while these guys went back to the hotel. They also told me a very disturbing thing that bothered me is, you know, most of these places you go to, you're going to take a picture with the people you're there. It's just kind of the thing to do, you know. But they, for some reason or other, wouldn't take a picture with Bobby Mackey. And I didn't understand that because, you know, the company paid a fee to come and investigate or put this show on the air. Be friendly enough to the people who run this place. This is their establishment. Bobby Mackey has never once stated he believes this place is haunted. You know, he plays guitar every night. It's a country bar that everybody goes and drinks at. You won't hear him say, oh, I believe this is haunted or whatever. Wanda Kay ran that for him. And granted, I've been there. I'm telling you right now, I was there about a year ago, and I was only there for a couple of hours. Took a friend of mine who had never investigated. It was the middle of the day. And at one point, we were downstairs in the basement, and it sounded like a herd of buffalo upstairs just jumping up and down the floor. And we were the only people there. The lady that was doing the tour was in her car waiting on us to come back out. And it just blew my mind because, you know, it's no surprise that a lot of the stuff that they said happened there didn't happen there. It happened down the road. And, you know, there's the whale, the poor, you know, whatever you want to call it, the poor of the hell or whatever you want to call the whale there. And I mean, I've seen a few shadows. You see shadows in a lot of places, but to be down in the basement and you hear that kind of sound upstairs and you know, there's nobody else there because you've already walked through the place completely all through the building. The only person that's there is the lady that's in the car waiting on you to get done. And this was like 10 or 11 people jumping up and down on the floor upstairs. And that like jerked me for a second because I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
You know? And I mean, I met Wanda Kay years ago. She was the first person to let me in there. I called her and I said, hey, I want to come see what all the fuss is about. You care to open up for a couple of hours? You know, I'll pay you. I just want to see what all the fuss is about. And as soon as she opened the door, it was like a power surge. The whole place lit up, the jukebox, the lights, they all came on and went right back off. And I was like, wow, you know, didn't even know what to say about that because it's pitch black in there and all of a sudden every light in the place comes on and goes right back off.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of wonder, I know there's the word, but it's escaping me right now. It's almost like an impression. You wonder with all the stuff that is said about places, if it puts an impression on a place that actually makes this stuff happen. You know what I'm saying? Like there may not have been anything there, but let me talk about it. Let me push it enough to where something comes through. If you want to say that, you know,
right.
So that's kind of what I think
right.
That place is. I don't.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. Like it's, you can project, you know, people expect things and you can project it enough that it happens. You draw it in, actually. You kind of like bring
exactly.
it in.
Exactly. It's almost like you. And, exactly. Exactly. You know, I'm not a big Ouija board user. I mean, I've not had a chance to see one of them work. I will say I had one that wanted to move around the house that I bought from a college kid years ago that I was told not to bring in the house, and I locked it in a cabinet, and the next day I come out in the garage and it's sitting on a shelf and the cabinet's still locked. So, you know, I managed to see that happen twice and I decided to sell it to somebody I didn't like and hope they're happy with it. But, you know, it's kind of like that. You kind of like what can you, and I mean, granted, Ouija boards, I've heard from numerous people that they work and, you know, there's something that comes through and I'm not going to disclaim it because I haven't seen it. You know, whatever, I'm not going to say it's not true because, again, that's not something I've seen happen. If somebody can show it to me, I'm going to be the first to first to tell you, you know. But at the same time, it's kind of like, what are you bringing through by sitting there, as you say, projecting something on a location? What's coming through? Where's it coming from? You know, there's always going to be there is no scientific proof that anything is haunted, because you just can't prove it. But at the same time, it's the unexplained that just, granted, that's why we as normal paranormal investigators, because we're not experts or professionals like the people on TV, you know, that's why we go to try to figure out some of this stuff in these locations. We pay the money. We spend the time driving. We spend the time there with no sleep. We spend the time doing it on the weekend because we got normal jobs we have to go back to and work every day, you know.
Right. And speaking of, tomorrow's Monday, and I need to get up early. And this interview has been great. Actually, it's not been an interview; it's just two people talking, and we do that a lot. We do pretty good with this. But I wanted to thank you so much for coming on tonight, and this has been a fun night. I hope it has been for you.
Definitely.
We got to do this again sometime. We need to do this like at least once a year, so that way we can gather up more dirt or more investigations to talk about.
I know, right? Not once a year, though. I mean, that's about the amount of time that we see each other all the time, because it's like we're always busy, we're always running. You're herding the cattle and building the fences and everything else, and you know, having the real life, you know, where I'm stuck at the Big Brown, so.
Yeah,
maybe
well,
once every quarter or something.
Yeah, maybe we could do that. But, you know, when you're jet setting off to Europe and places like that, I can't keep up.
Oh, please. Please, whatever. First time for everything.
Yeah, well, Brown goes everywhere. So apparently you're going to go check it all out.
I'm trying. I'll just try to do it in the daylight. That way I'm not scared in the dark.
Okay, that's for tonight. And we're going to go ahead and end the show next week. I don't think we've got a guest. I think Jason and Sherry will be back on. I'm not real sure. So please join us again for another Paranormal Horizons next Sunday night at your local time. It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, everyone, and have a great evening.